Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where we'll be looking at this morning. And we'll begin reading at verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just pray that his presence would be with us this morning as we seek to understand you and your word more fully, Lord, in the ways of this world. May you enable me to speak your word this morning and just open up our understanding, illuminate it, so that we may grasp its truth and apply them to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the book of Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, who was one of the wisest men that ever lived. That as we read it, there's some things that we see in it that makes a lot of sense, things that we can definitely relate to. Then there's some of it that it's kind of hard to understand. But we want to kind of get a fuller understanding of what he is trying to accomplish in what he was trying to put forth. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he gives kind of a statement of what he's pursuing in Ecclesiastes. He says, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man, to be exercised therewith." And so he was seeking out all these things. And we see verse 3 of chapter 2 as well. He said, "I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life." So he's trying to acquaint himself with all things. He's trying to kind of find a conclusion of what was good for sons of men to do, how they should be spending their lives. And we see over and over again Ecclesiastes, that the statement that he makes, that everything under the sun is vanity and vexation of spirit. And statements like that certainly don't give you very much hope. But the truth that we can always remember, that not everything is under the sun. That if we live life apart from God, either denying his existence or living in complete disregard to him and his word, we'll find that our lives will be vain. Lives will be empty. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Doesn't seem to have any purpose. And there will be no real sense of accomplishment. Only a sense of frustration and despair. But we find sense. We find purpose in life. We find fulfillment in life in the Lord himself, as we seek him, as we follow after them. And we see the conclusion of it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If we were to sum up, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And so we understand that we are to seek after him, that of course we're separated from him because of our sin. We come to him through Christ as our Savior, And then as believers, that's what we pursue, that we follow after Him. We seek to, by the power of the Spirit, to fear Him and to keep His commandments and to follow after Him. But in the midst of all of this, we see Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this passage is written that we just read, and we recognize it to be observations of life in general. We recognize them to be accurate observations, even if there would be some things that we might not wish them to be true, we recognize them to be true. And we see this list that's given, there's a lot of different parts to it, different things that are mentioned, and we could certainly probably add to these different things that are parts of life that come and go. We can think of, sometimes there's times where we're sick, sometimes there's times where we're healthy. We can think sometimes there are times when we have an abundance, sometimes there's a time when we don't have very much. Sometimes there are times when we're very, very busy, other times where we have a time of rest. And so with all these things that we see, those that are mentioned and those that we can just kind of think about, that that it's certainly true of life that there's times for each. And with what we've seen just written specifically in this passage, we can notice three things to begin with. First of all, some of these listed here describe different events. We think of birth and death, think of sowing and reaping, of war and of peace. And as much as we may sometimes not want them to be, we recognize that they're as much a part of our life as day and night, of winter, spring, summer, and fall, that with the weather of the last few days, especially wake up this morning and it says minus 33 on the gauge, it just, you cringe at the first blast of winter, that none of us really look forward to it. But we recognize it's something that we face every year, that it doesn't kind of come on us unexpectedly, that it is an expected thing, that it is part of our lives, that we can try to get away from it, but we're always going to find a place where there's different changing seasons. We can get down to the equator, and sure, you don't have winter there, but you have the hot season and the rainy season, and I think that would, if we spent much time in there, I think all of us would probably appreciate the snow a bit sometimes too, that we get a break from the heat. But it's with all things that there's different parts to life. We rejoice at the birth of a child, just as we did with a daughter being born. But so often the rest of our life is spent avoiding death, that we don't, our focus is not so much on actually living, just on not dying. That's kind of what we're trying to get away from. But we recognize that death is going to come at some time in our life, that we're not going to escape it, and that we trust that it's in the time that the Lord decides is best. And with all these things, we recognize them, that they're going to be a part of our lives until the very end. That at one point in the future, the former things will be passed away, that He will make all things new. One day death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. We see Revelation 21 and verse 4 of how it speaks. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And so we see, as we compare what is written in Revelation 21 verse 4 with what is written in Ecclesiastes 3, that there are some things that are going to be done away with. Death and times of weeping and mourning and other things like that. We read as well that there one day that there's going to be the swords are beaten to plowshares, the spears and the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up war or arms against other nations, and they shall not learn war anymore. That one day that will happen, but we realize that until that day comes, this is what we have to expect, that this is going to come up again and again, these different times and seasons in life. that World War I was supposed to be the war that ended all wars, but it did not. And we recognize that no true peace will truly come to this world until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes peace and rules with a rod of iron. But we think of what a day it will be, as the song says, that all these things will be changed, the former things will be passed away. But until that day comes, we realize that this is going to be part of our life, whether we want it to be or not, these different times. We see as well, with what is described here, that there's some of these speak of different events that require different responses on our part. And we're required to make a judgment call, and we need to have real discernment to know which is which. A few days ago that I was shoveling snow, and Caleb wanted to come out and help me, and he came out wearing shorts. And I said, no, you need to get back in the house. And he was eager to help me, but we just understand that there's some things when it's different seasons that you don't do. That it's a kind of a new set of rules, a new set of behaviors has to be kind of put into place. And we see that with some of these different ones here, that there's time for some things and not for others. And so you need discernment. You need understanding of the times to know what is the right step to take. We see in verse 3 where it says a time to kill and a time to heal. That any of us have had a pet or have raised animals, that we know that sometimes it's a time to heal up the wound, to nurture them back to health. Sometimes it's time to get the gun and put them out of their misery. We can think of having any kind of building, an older building, that there's times that we can repair it and fix it up and kind of keep it useful, but there's only so much you can do that at a certain point, you know, okay, well, I need to just knock this down and start and build something out. And it's always kind of a challenge. It takes discernment. You can tear down too soon, or you can try to make it last longer than it should. I know I was talking with, I was working at some place, and they knew the people that owned our place that we live right now. And she was describing how there is a lot more buildings there than there used to be. There was a barn and other things, and that the owner that kind of came between us and them, that he just kind of wanted to get rid of all these old buildings, and we kind of wish that he hadn't, because I could have fixed them up, but they're not there anymore. But then I remember this one fellow that lived near to us, that he was going to sell his farm, and so he thought, well, I'm going to fix up my barn, and so I'll get a better price. And so he got this company from the city to come in and put tin on his barn and everything, and they really didn't do that good of a job, and they charged them a whole lot more than they should have too. But then the next owner called us and said, well, can you come and take all the tin off, and so I can bulldoze that barn? It's no good, and I want to build a new one. And so that's what we did. And so that's the thing, that the discernment to know what to do, that we see of how it says a time to rend and a time to sow, that any of you that do sowing, that I know my mom, she passed her clothes quite a lot as when we were boys, because you were always blowing out the knees, but there's only so many patches you can put on, that when you're putting a patch on a patch, you know, it needs to go in the rag bag. It's not worth saving anymore. And so we need that discernment, that there's sometimes where one action would be totally inappropriate. We see that if we were to laugh in a time when it is a time to weep and to mourn, that would not be appropriate, or to weep and mourn when it is a time to rejoice would not be right. That sometimes where we have where you might give someone a hug when maybe they didn't really want it wasn't the right time, or maybe you didn't give a hug when a person could really use one. It's hard to know, and I think for most of us men, that kind of not hugging is kind of the default position that we kind of stick with, and only in extreme circumstances do we do the other. But it is something trying to know when is the right time. Time to keep silence and a time to speak. Discerning when that is. That we probably all realize that there's times when we should have spoken up and said something, but we didn't, and we felt bad because of it, that we just froze up. But then there's other times where we said something and then we realize we wish we would have just stayed silent. It would have been much better for us if we had not said anything. And our hindsight is 20/20, of course. We always can tell this is what I should have done. But we realize that we want to have that discernment, we want to have that wisdom and guidance from God to know which is which, what time is which, when am I to do that. And failure to do that has serious consequences that we more than we might think. We can think of the events preceding the First World War, where all nations were essentially pursuing after war, that they were all in these different alliances. And you look at it and it's like, how could the assassination of the Archduke of Austria by a Serbian student cause people in Canada and Australia to have to sail across the world and fight in a war? That it doesn't make a lot of sense. And we kind of look at it and we see, well, if people hadn't been so eager for war, how many lives might have been saved? But then we think as well, in the events preceding the Second World War, with the pursuit of many of peace at any price by Neville Chamberlain and others, that they failed to condemn and confront the monster that was Adolf Hitler until it was too late. That it allowed him time to strengthen his forces. That people look back historically and say, well, if they would have stopped him when he invaded the Rhineland, when he invaded Austria, when he invaded Czechoslovakia, how many lives might have been spared if they had done that? And so it's the thing is that so much we kind of go from one or the other, and we need discernment, not just as individuals, but as nations, that we need guidance and discernment from God to know what actions to take and when. And so we see with all of these that we can see that there's different times, but knowing which time is which sometimes and knowing how to act in each time, that we recognize that we don't have that wisdom in and of ourselves, that we need God's help, we need God's discernment. But I think thirdly we see that in all of this, if we were to say that there is any constant in life, the only constant is change. That like the weather on the prairies, that if you don't like it, you just wait a few minutes and it will change. That we know that today we're in minus 30s, we look at the forecast and by the middle of next week it's supposed to be plus 6. And so we know that there's such a variety to life. And it's hard sometimes to keep up, but we realize that anything that happens, that there's going to be a change that's going to come eventually. It may not be as soon as we want. It may be it may be much later than we think it should be. But it's the thing is that we realize change will happen in our lives. That it's part of our lives. And so our response is we realize the truth of what Solomon has to say. We look at it and we say, well, there's some things in this list that I want to have as a part of my life. Times of laughing, of dancing, of celebration. Time to get and the time to keep. Those are things that we desire. Times of love, times of peace. But there's other things that we want to avoid like the plague, that we hope that they are never part of our life. Times of weeping and mourning. Times to lose, times to cast away. That it's always kind of the thought that we like to gather things and gain things, but then when it comes to having to declutter and having like a garage sale and learning, well, there's times to cast away, but what to cast away? And that's not something we necessarily want to think about, but I think all of us realize at different times in our life that that's even a part of life as well. That we dread winter, that we do what we can to avoid it. But with most of the other things, we can't get away from it. And in some ways, it's better to resign ourselves and to confront it head on and get it over with in that sense. That we not only do we resist certain things that happen that are part of life, we resist as well the fact that things are going to change. That we get in a good time, an enjoyable time, and we don't want to enter into what we would say to be less than enjoyable. that we resist change. And sometimes as well, the flip side is we're just waiting for things to change. That's all we want is something new, something different. Sometimes it doesn't change as quickly as we would like, and other times we can be fickle that we want it to change, but when the change comes, that we wish it was back the way it was. It'd be like a single person that's lonely, that wants to get married, have companionship, have children, and then God gives them all those things, and then they say, well, I want alone time. And it's like, well, then you should have stayed single if that was such a priority. But it's the thing as humans that we don't often know what we want. Often we just know what we don't want. And it's an unfortunate thing, but that's the way that we are. But with all of this, I think we realize there's a heavenly perspective that we need to gain. That each true season, each time, each season of life, and even the time of change of seasons is given by God. It is directed by God. It is according to His wisdom, according to His righteousness, and His love. And we see what it says there, verse 10, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. That God wants us to be exercised in these things. That it is part of His plan to strengthen us, to help us to grow, to draw us closer to Him. That he wants to challenge us. He wants us to get in situations that we're out of our comfort zone, where it's not that easy, and it's so that we would realize that we need His help, we need His strength, that we would draw nigh to Him so that He can help us through, that even the wisdom of what to do in certain situations, as well the grace of enduring what might be a difficult time, that all these things are done for a reason, and sometimes He brings these things about so that we might be drawn closer to Him, that we might see things from a different perspective. We see as well, verse 11, it says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. That what we consider to be bad parts of life, what we would consider to be evil things that we are to avoid, that He is going to make those things beautiful in His time just as much as what we would consider the good parts. And we realize as we look back at different things, different struggles we had, different times that were not enjoyable, that there were lessons learned from those. There were things that we, looking back, we appreciate, that we maybe didn't at the time, in the middle of it, but when we see things from an eternal perspective, from kind of a longer look, that we realize, no, this was a good thing. This was part of God's plan. He makes it beautiful in His time. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, God, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That He's going to make all things, even the good and the bad, all seasons of life, even the change of those seasons, be good for us. And in our agenda, of course, is we desire to be comfortable. We desire to have a life of ease in many ways. But God has something better for us. He has a plan for us. It's not to make life simple for us. It's to conform us to the image of His Son, to bring us, make us like Him, so we would grow in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That God makes things beautiful in His time. And I think that's important, the word there where it says God makes things beautiful in His time. That our time on this earth is so little, and often we don't see the whole picture in our life. We think of Abraham, of how he had faith in these promises to come, but he never received any of it. The only thing that he received was that his son was born. That was a promise he received. But the idea that he was going to possess the land from Egypt under the Euphrates, that his progeny was going to be as the sand on the seashore, that's something he never saw. But yet he believed. And we see, and even we recognize that the fulfillment of those promises still isn't yet totally completed, that the Lord is going to bring all of that to pass. But it's something that He makes it beautiful in His time. And when it gets to the end, that that we'll see how beautiful it is. We'll see the plan that the Lord has accomplished, and we will rejoice in it. And we can ask why now, and sometimes He'll give us the reason, and sometimes we realize it won't be until later on, that as the one song says, we'll understand it better by and by. And we see as well, verse 11, the statement where it says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time also. He hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. That we can try to figure it out. The question is given elsewhere in the Scriptures, canst thou by searching find out God? And it is something that I think we realize that we're to pursue Him, we're to seek after Him with all of our heart, but we know that we're never going to get to the bottom of Him. We're never going to get to the end, kind of the border of where God is. That we'll keep searching, and we'll see that there's still as much going on beyond. It's kind of, we're watching a video on kind of exploration of some of the ocean depths, and how that they're just recently found different things they didn't know existed because they didn't have submarines that could go down that far. And they still haven't gotten to the bottom in many places. And they said that only 5% of the Earth's, the ocean floor, has really been searched out of these deeper parts. And I see that as kind of a correlation with God, that all the searching that men have done, that we can't get to the end of it, that it's not possible. That it is His work that He's making. And we can think, just for example, the line that the lineage of Christ, that goes from Adam through Abraham and David, through all these different people, some that were good, some that were not so good, that you could take any one of those people and wonder, well, what's God's plan in this? What's going on? Why is this happening? But then when you step back and you see the whole picture and you realize, okay, this was the whole plan that He had in place to bring all this to pass. And that's how it'll be with so many other things in life, that we see it just in the moment of time that we're in, and we try to figure it out from the history that we know, from the prophecy that we see, and we still don't know how it's all going to work out from the beginning to the end. But when we get to glory, we'll see that it all makes sense. And I think in the time that we have on this earth, that we need to ask questions, I think, and ponder and meditate. But sometimes we simply need to trust Him, because we know He's doing a work. It's going to be a great work in our lives and in the lives of others. And we want to see it come to fruition and be a part of that work, and not try to get in the way of that. And so we recognize that events and times of our life are for our good, they are for His glory. And they are not for us to resent or resist these different times of life, or even the change from one time to another. But instead, as God's people, that we humbly and submissively accept the time for what it is, and that we rejoice in it. That we see that verse 12, it says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. That in the things themselves that we might find no good in this life, but if we learn to rejoice and still do right, even in the good and the bad times, that it's much more profitable unto us. That, and that's the thought, that whatever happens, that we still need to fear God and keep His commandments. We still need to do what is right. That complaining about things changes nothing. That griping about how things are going doesn't cause the change to come any faster. That the change will come in time. That the trials and troubles that we face may be hard to endure, but we know that they're only for a time. That it speaks in 1 Peter, I believe it is, it says, speaks of how that after we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That it'll be a while, but it won't be forever. That our light affliction is but for a moment, and it works in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so we want to learn as God's people to take the bad with the good, the better with the worse, and recognize that God is doing a work, that we're not sure what that is, we're not sure how it's all going to work out, but we know that it is a good work. And in any of the times of life, that we would draw closer to God, that we would get discernment of how to act in each situation, grace to handle the bad and the good, and the wisdom to recognize and accept God's working, trusting He will make all things beautiful in His time. That He is doing a great work, and it's up to us of how we approach it, that it will be a blessing to us if we just allow Him to do that work and trust Him and wait to see what the end will be of all that He does. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word, and we thank You that it shows us the way things truly are, and even though we might not wish that to be true, Lord, we just pray You would help us to accept things of life, and that we would trust You in all these things, and allow You to do Your work, and just submit and place ourselves under Your mighty hand, that we might see Your work done. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand once more. We'll turn to hymn number 299 and sing Day by Day.